Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Are you hungry? I mean this in more ways than one. Are you fed? And with what are you being fed? You know, clearly I am always hungry. You can ask him about that. But we're talking a little bit about something else to do with hunger this morning. You know, the disciples were hungry in our text this morning. Peter decides, I'm going fishing. And everyone says, hey, let us go with you. And they do. And they start casting their nets. Not like a rod and a reel, just casting and reeling it back in, but the hard work of actually throwing a whole net out and pulling it back in. And they do this all night, casting out their net and pulling it back in, casting out their net and pulling it back in. And nothing, getting nothing each time, casting it out, pulling it in, and getting nothing. All night long. And they are hungry. And then they hear a voice calling to them from the shore, telling them to throw their net on the right side of the boat. Seems a little ridiculous, right? We've been fishing all night long, throwing our net and pulling it back in all night long, and here you say, just throw it on the other side of the boat? Seems a little ridiculous, right? But they do it anyway. And they pull it in, and it's full. It's so full of fish. It's amazing that the net isn't even breaking. And they can hardly even pull it all the way into the boat. And at this point, John notices that it's the Lord. Peter dives into the water to see the Lord, like how many times before. He has this immediate response, and like he ran to the empty tomb. Peter pulls in that 153 fish. And not only that, they are big fish. And there Jesus is sitting on the shore, and he says, come and eat. He has the charcoal laid out and fish laid out on the fire with bread, and Jesus is eating with them. And they dare not question who he is. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Let's try that again. Christ is risen.
He is risen
indeed. Hallelujah. You know, what do we make of this story? I have to admit, I have had a real struggle with this text all week. I've been mulling over it again and again. What do we make of this text? What does God's word have to say to us this morning? You know, I suppose some people might read it like George Washington Harris. You know, yesterday there was this historical reenactment of the laying of the cornerstone of Bolton Hall here in Tujunga. It was complete with actors, and one of them was George Washington Harris, who was behind the building of Bolton Hall and several other places around this area. And there were these speeches of this ideal hope, this idealistic hope of creating this utopian society in Sunland and Tujunga, far removed from the hustle and bustle of LA. And he spoke about how he spent a whole year making furniture that everyone said was too high priced, and he didn't get any money for it. But then he said he just kept making furniture. He just kept making it anyway. He just kept trying harder. And sooner or later, all of a sudden, everybody wanted to buy his furniture. You know, he said that the secret to success was just keep trying harder. And sooner or later, it's bound to pay off. In other words, all you have to do is want it more. You know, the George Washington Harris interpretation of this text this morning would be, all you need to do is just keep working hard and eventually you'll catch those fish. Like our prolific sports stories that we hear about, especially hearing about these stories in the Masters or the Olympics, that if you just keep putting the time in, just keep working hard, eventually it's going to pay off. You know, and we kind of like that. We like to hear that story, don't we, as Americans? You know, when you're in need of something, this voice will say, try harder. Plow through it. You'll be rewarded. And sometimes even the name of God is invoked in this call. If you want God to bless you, this mindset says, pray harder. You have doubts, believe harder. But what happens when God doesn't give you what you want? You can either despair, or you reject God altogether. You either beat yourself up, thinking you didn't do it right, or you think God is some angry guy in the sky who likes to see you suffer. I've heard it time and time again. And this happens all over the place today. Some people even forsaking their faith because they were taught things that Jesus never said. Sometimes even lies from pulpits about things that God never said. Lord, have mercy. But let me tell you right now, that is the wrong way to read our gospel text this morning. And it's damaging. But rather, I would have you listen to the voice that calls out in this text. And it's the voice of Jesus. When the disciples bring in this haul of fish, it was not their reward for working hard. Think about it. This voice tells them to cast their net on the other side of the boat. It's a complete contradiction to what they know. This reading is not about the disciples. It's not about the disciples and all of their hard work. This reading is not about me. This reading is not about you. This reading is about Jesus. When the disciples make their way on shore, unlike in when Jesus had first called the disciples, their nets were beginning to break, but now their nets are not breaking. And amazingly, at the command of the risen Lord, the nets do not break, and these disciples bring in this fish because it's not about these disciples, it's about Jesus. And they are fed, not as a reward for their work all night, but they're simply fed by Jesus, their master, our master, who is crucified and is now alive. And he's preparing a meal for these disciples, some fish and bread, and he feeds them. And not only that, he's eating as well. He's eating fish and bread with his disciples in his resurrected body. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. You know, we can and ought to work hard, even in the church. It's natural. Yeah, we hope to cultivate a community in this place of compassion and affection. And we work hard at it. We're called to work hard at it. Let me tell you, you'll probably be exhausted wherever you try to cultivate this kind of community. You'll invite your friend over and over again to come to church and maybe never see a result, maybe never even get a response. We can try to cultivate a family, whether at home or even in this church, over and over again, and only have the pain of bitterness resurface time and time again over some event that happened in the past. Or you'll work hard to speak Jesus' words of compassion to only hear a spirit of bitterness and complaining a moment later. It can be hard work, especially when you don't think anyone's listening. What should we expect, though, when we're dealing with sinners? Even chief of sinners, like Paul. Chief of sinners, myself included. But the difference is, and this is the only difference that I want you to go home with today, is that above all, it's about Jesus. He is our only hope. It's only about receiving Jesus, casting aside trust in your own work, that you think that you are the one who gets it done, and casting it all on Jesus. This is all about Jesus. You know, as long as we think that we're the ones in charge, it will be like fishing all night, not catching a thing. Sometimes we don't get what we strive for, and we find out that what we were striving for was actually the wrong thing. Because if we actually did get it, it might be our ruin. But thanks be to God that God doesn't always give us everything that we want. You see, our Lord is gracious in and through His Word. Our old desires of striving die and are renewed for Jesus. It's got to be all about Jesus. If God changes our hearts and minds to hunger for the things of Jesus, let me tell you, God promises it in abundance. Seek first the kingdom. You know, here at this divine service, this is an opportunity to be shaped by God. It's a time for the Lord to form you and to shape you, to give you a hunger for the things that God desires, the things that God desires to give you right now. In the Lord's Prayer, God shapes our asking as we ask for the things of God. He shapes us so that we don't just hunger for filling our bellies or our pocketbooks, but for His righteousness. He shapes us and forms us to hunger for His forgiveness, to hunger for His life, to hunger for His salvation. And He gives it to us fully. In His Word, you have Him in abundance, filling your heart and life so full of Jesus, even with nets that do not break. Trust in Him for your salvation, for your forgiveness, for your life. Simply cling to Him. Cast all your cares and your doubts on Him. And He promises to be faithful to you. See, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. He is the one crucified and risen for you. He is the one who feeds you with the food of His Word that satisfies. He is the one that feeds you with the words of forgiveness, of life and salvation. Cling to Jesus. Listen to Jesus. Receive Jesus. Maybe it all seems so backwards, right? You know, this text is not a lesson for fulfilling our life now, for having the best life now. It's not a formula for success. It's not about the best fishing strategy. It's not a way to prove your mettle. It's all about Jesus, crucified and risen for you. Jesus, who feeds you today. Amen.